It's time to Luke's Gospel and chapter 6, reading from verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He also told them this parable: "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Reflecting today on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a king. And the king of the kingdom of God is Jesus. Now we might think, of course, the king of the kingdom of God, surely it is God. And yet what has happened, so scripture tells us, is that God has appointed Jesus to be the king in the kingdom of God. When the angels spoke to Mary, saying, you're going to have a son, young woman, just getting on with her life, not expecting very much from God, but being faithful to him, the angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. He will be a king. And then the angel says, his kingdom will never end. Well, there only is only one kingdom that will never end. And that is, guess what? The kingdom of God. Well done. Thank you, Simon. The kingdom of God is the only kingdom that will not end. All other kingdoms, we are told, the scriptures say, they will rise and they will fall, but the kingdom of our God and of his king will last forever. Jesus is the king in God's kingdom. Now, in Luke's gospel, what we see is that Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God over 30 times. Over 30 times, Jesus references the kingdom of God. In fact, I think it was the passage we looked at last week. Jesus said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Why was Jesus sent? We might give all sorts of explanations as to why did Jesus come and live on the earth? Why did he go around doing good? What was all that about? Well, words out of the mouth of Jesus himself. Why have I come? I have come to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. I have come to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. So evidently, right at the center of Jesus's life is the kingdom of God. He is the king of that kingdom. And he has this very clear understanding that what he is about, what his mission is to preach the kingdom of God. When Jesus gathers together his disciples and sends them out and says to them, don't take anything with you. Don't take an extra purse or extra staff or anything like that. Go around to all the villages and towns, healing their sick, proclaiming to them the kingdom of God. And when their sick are healed and when the demons are driven out, tell them the kingdom of God is near to you. So right at the heart of the life of Jesus, what he's about, his rationale, his mission, whatever we would like to say about it, is this kingdom of God. And right at the heart of Luke's gospel, in fact, all the gospel, but particularly Luke's gospel, we do have the kingdom of God. Now, what is this kingdom like? How might we describe the kingdom of God? I'll stick up some words for us. We might describe the kingdom of God as, well, the kingdom of God is a place where there is forgiveness. Or we might say the kingdom of God is a place where there is wholeness, where if ever you feel sometimes like your life is out of control. Is that just me? No. If you ever feel like that, your life is out of control, there's something going on here, something else going on there, and you wish you could get everything in order and you could get your head around it, but most of the time we just let things be, or we bury them, or suppress them, because we can't deal with it all. If only we could know wholeness. Remember at Christmas, we spoke about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of what the Jews would call Shalom. Shalom is this wholeness, the bringing together of all the bits that have been displaced and putting them all in their right place. And when it happens, we will give praise to God because we'll go, wow, I could never have done that myself. I could never have put it all back together with justice. Everything in its right place. The kingdom of God, we might say, is about wholeness. We might say it's about compassion. We receive compassion like nowhere else in the kingdom of God. We might say it's about life. There is deep challenge in the kingdom of God. There are those who would say, well, I would be a Christian. I would be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, but the challenge is too great. I remember Billy Graham telling the story about on one of his crusades, he was speaking somewhere, and when he gave the appeal, if ever you've been and heard Billy Graham speak, he always very naturally, at the end of talking, you know, sometimes, I confess, I used to hear Billy Graham and think, what on earth are you talking about? You know, I couldn't make head or tail of it. But the Spirit of God was so on that man that it was almost as if it didn't matter what he spoke about. God would speak through him. People would hear the voice of God. And I remember him telling the story of how one time he gave his appeal and said, like, I have spoken to you about Jesus. And just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to stand up where you are and come down to the front and give your life wholly to Jesus. And Billy Graham said when he gave his appeal, it was as though the entire stadium stood. And immediately he stopped and said, no, you obviously haven't understood what I've said. Sit down. Let me tell you how tough it is to follow Jesus. And so he went through and he said, I made it as difficult as I could. And then he said, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seats. And in the kingdom of God, there is deep challenge where we need to turn our lives around. The Bible calls it repenting. We need to constantly be turning our lives and readjusting our lives, correcting our lives to face towards God's way. And it's a challenging place to be, but it's also a place of great rejoicing. It's a place of great rejoicing. It's also a place of deep companionship. Now, we could say all of these things about the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you some stories, because I think the best way to understand the kingdom of God is to tell stories. Stories that Jesus told. Stories that people told about Jesus. And all the time they are illustrations of the kingdom of God. We are told on one occasion that a man who was severely disabled with leprosy came to Jesus. He was ostracized by everybody else because of this really ugly, awful skin disease that he had that seemed to be eating away at him. Nobody else would touch him. He would have to go around on the edges of town, never going into cities because he was regarded as unclean. And he comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And we're told Jesus was filled with compassion. I am willing. And he reached out and touched him and made him clean. There were a group of friends who heard about Jesus. And they heard that Jesus was healing the sick with just a word, with just a touch. Wasn't it great in the passage that we read, power was coming out of Jesus? What did that look like? But there were a group of friends who heard that power was coming out of Jesus. They were determined to take their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And you know the story about how they got to Jesus, to the house where he was. They couldn't get in because there were so many people there. They climbed up on the roof of the house, tore the roof apart, and then lowered him down right into the middle of the room. And when he was there, face to face with Jesus, Jesus turned to him and says, son, everybody would have been hanging on his every word. He's going to heal him. Son, your sins are forgiven. In the kingdom of God, there is forgiveness. There is compassion. There was a woman who had been ill for many, many years. But I think it was for 12 years, this particular woman had been bleeding with menstrual bleeding. And there was no doctor, we're told, who could cure her. She'd spent all her money, everything she'd had, going to doctors, doing all the treatments that they'd told her to do. But she just bled and it was draining the life out of her. And she heard about Jesus. Here was a man who could heal her. And she thought, if I can but just get close to him to touch him, then perhaps I can be made whole. I can be healed. And the opportunity came when Jesus was coming in a crowd surrounded by men and women and boys and girls, crowding together, so many people down the narrow streets. Jesus had already been called by somebody else, somebody important. The synagogue ruler's daughter was dying. So Jesus was off to heal or raise from the dead Jairus' daughter. But that woman had been bleeding for 12 years. So if only, maybe I can creep through the crowd. Maybe I can just touch him. He'll never know. And we know how she made her way through that crowd, hot and sweaty crowd. And she reached out and all she could do was touch the hem of his garment. And in that instant, she was healed. She slipped away. But Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Who touched me? All the disciples just looked at him in amazement. What do you mean they touch you? Everybody's touching you. They're all there. No. Power just went out of me. Because somebody had reached with faith, believing Jesus can do this. And that woman, she'd scuttled away, but she came back because she was ashamed of what she'd done. It was me. Go in peace. Go in peace. Wholeness. It's all back together, just as you need. Go in peace. Your faith has healed you. Such is the kingdom of God. Such is the kingdom of God. Jesus and his disciples on another occasion were walking along and they passed through a village. And as they approached the village, they pass a funeral. I don't know whether they would call it a funeral cortege as we would now. Great crowd of people coming out, carrying a young boy on a stretcher, ready to go and bury him. The only son of a woman whose husband had died. And in those days, that woman would be left with nothing, absolutely nothing. She'd be abandoned, nobody to look after, no sons or daughters, no husband would look after her. She'd be alone. So what does Jesus do? He sizes up what he sees, a young lad and a widow. And then he reaches out, touches that young lad. And life goes from Jesus into that young boy. Helps him down, gives him back to his mother. In the kingdom of God, there is life. And it might be today that there is for us just a sense of deadness. A sense of deadness. Because of the way we've lived, we've had to suppress stuff and we've had, in a sense, just to kill off emotions and all sorts. Because we can't live otherwise. We can't function. And it might be today that we would take a step into the kingdom of God because we know that that is where there is life. And we need that life. We need that life for us to turn us around, to give us a sense of freedom like we've never experienced before. Now, of course, there were many who wanted to follow Jesus. There were many who clamored to be with the latest celebrity. And a man came to Jesus and said, I will follow you to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds have their nest. I've got nowhere to sleep. Come follow me. To another man, follow me. Let me first go and bury my dead. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You come and follow me. To another, he said, come follow me. And the man said, well, I would, you know, but I'll just go and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. It is tough living in our generation, in our society, as a follower of Jesus in the kingdom of God. It's an upside down kingdom. It's a kingdom where the poor get blessed and the rich get nothing. When Mary sang her song, do you remember how Mary, having had the visitation from Angel Gabriel, she goes to Elizabeth, her cousin, and she sings. What does she sing? She praises God and says, now is the time. Everything's going to change. The rich will be scattered. The proud will be brought low. And at long last, the humble will be raised. Mary knew that here was the kingdom of God. An upside down, topsy-turvy kingdom where nothing was as it seemed to be. Everything was turned upside down. Where those who are abused and falsely accused are vindicated. When God comes alongside and says, I will never leave you, even though others leave you, I will never leave you. Such is the kingdom of God. In one chapter in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories. He tells, firstly, a man who had 100 sheep. He had 100 sheep. And he says, and he lost one of the sheep. And such was his concern for his lost sheep that he leaves the 99 and goes out searching high and low. Where might he find the lost sheep? When he found the lost sheep, he put it on his shoulders and brought it home. And he gathers all of his friends and neighbors together. Come celebrate with me. Rejoice with me, for the one who was lost has been found. There was a woman, Jesus said, who had 10 coins. A woman, no doubt, 10 coins, very precious to her. Maybe that was all she had. She lost one. Maybe she said to her neighbors, have you seen my coin? I've lost it. It's told she searched high and low until she found her lost coin. And when she found her lost coin, she was so pleased. She gathers her friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me. The kingdom of God is a place of rejoicing because it is a place where the lost are found and the dead are raised to life. Jesus says there was a man, a rich man, with two sons. One of the sons says, I want my inheritance now. And so Jesus says the rich man gave the son the inheritance now. And off he goes and he squanders everything that he has. All good things he's used up. And he gets to the point where the only sustenance that he has in front of him is the pig trill. He's feeding to the pigs. He thinks, this is all I could have. But in my father's house, even the servants get treated better than this. And he comes up with his grand plan. I'll go home and I'll be a servant and say, look, I've blown it. I'm no longer a son. I'm no longer your child. I'll just be a servant. Because I need somewhere warm. I need somewhere comfortable. I need somewhere. I'll work, but I'll be fed. And he rehearses his speech as he goes home. But his father has been waiting, waiting, waiting. And when he sees his son coming from a distance, the father does something that culturally would have been regarded as complete insanity. He got up. The father got up and ran down the road to the son who had wasted everything. threw his arms around him, not having time to listen to the carefully prepared speech, but puts his arms around him, gives her a big hug and says, "You're my son." His servants catch him up, turns to them and says, "Go and get a robe, put it on him. Here, take this ring, the sign of sonship, put it on his finger. Get sandals for his feet." And then he calls his friends and neighbors, "Let's celebrate. Because this son of mine was lost, but he's found. He was dead, but now is alive." Such is the kingdom of God. And Luke's gospel is full of stories, all of which are illustrating this is what the kingdom of God is like. Come on, enter into the kingdom of God. Your life will be transformed, turned upside down as you experience God's kindness and mercy. And so it is for us, the challenge. Would we enter into God's kingdom? The kingdom where Jesus is king. Would we take that chance to lay our life down at the feet of Jesus and receive him? Here's the thing, a critical thing that we need to understand, is that in God's kingdom, once we enter into God's kingdom, our lives will never be the same again. Everything changes for us once we enter into the kingdom of God. There is the little seed that is planted in our lives. And if we are ready, then it will grow and bear good fruit in us, perhaps 100 times more than we'd expect it. Now, how about you and me? I should really have begun by asking, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to hear about the kingdom of God? Are you ready to receive the kingdom of God? Are you ready to say, okay, I don't know quite where I am right now, but I am going to take a step today somehow to enter into this kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, where things are different. And when we enter in, we are transformed. Because Jesus, who is the King of the kingdom of God, he lives and breathes the values and life of this kingdom. And if we want to see what this kingdom is like, we need only to look to Jesus. We need only to follow after Jesus. There is a but. Don't you just love buts at the end? Here's the but. The life you are destined by God to live. The reason I believe passionately you were born to live. Now, we were all born in different places. We had different parents and they brought us up with different traditions and values and so on. But I believe the life you were born to live, you were destined to live, is a life in the kingdom of God. Is the life in the kingdom of God, where there is forgiveness and wholeness and compassion, where there is great challenge but great rejoicing, where there is companionship, where Jesus says, "I will walk with you every step of the way." This life is the life that you were born to live. Today, are we ready to receive the seed in our lives? To let it grow. When we enter into the kingdom of God, I'm not sure there's, sometimes there are people who travel to other countries and they have observer status. You know that? In elections and kind of thing. In the kingdom of God, there is no observer status. If you enter into the kingdom, what God starts to do is transform you. Creating situations where you can be compassionate and kind and merciful and forgiving. If you enter into God's kingdom, expect right away God to start changing you. Let's pause there and let's pray. is just take a moment of silence. And it doesn't really matter who we are, whether we consider ourselves a Christian or not, or a disciple, a follower of Jesus or not. Let's take this moment and to say, who would I be? Would I be one who will be daring enough to step into the kingdom of God, to follow Jesus, to have my life transformed, and yet know Jesus alongside me all the way? Where I might experience depths of emotion that I've never experienced before, because God is stirring compassion within me. Where God brings deep challenge to me to forgive and to let go. Where God brings life and we go through difficult times because he's shoveling out all of the rubbish in our lives and replacing it with life. Are we willing to take that step? May God have mercy upon us and help us to respond in a way that is good for us and honours him. Amen.